04 BYU monitoring.
BYU K4 OIM. Name's Walt. How you doing?
Testing it out. How you doing today there, young man?
I don't know about that young man part. Yeah, I'm almost 74 years old, and I am wore out. I'm up here in Denman at Lake Bowen. What's your QTH?
I'm down here in Gray Court, South Carolina. I'm on the Skynet connection with the router.
Connection coming down there at Gray Court. I know where that's at, little one red light town. Oh, man, that's another ham. I met control here on this net on Tuesday night, and there's another ham. I can't think of his call. He and his wife both check in from down there at Gray Court. Good grief. Seems like his name is Mike. Let me grab my logbook here. But do you know of any other hams there in Gray Court?
Yes, sir. There's quite a few of us down here. I was kind of hoping people would be using the Lawrence repeater down here, but nobody does. The only way I can connect to the Lawrence repeater is through this program, the Echolink. So that's what I'm using now. But when I go into town down here in the greater Gray Court, there's a fellow on the left or the right-hand side of the road going into town, and he's got a big antenna mast out there, so I figure he's a ham operator.
I'm going back through my logbook here and looking for Gray Court. Yeah, N4UZ. N4UZ, Mike, in Gray Court, and AF4ET. Nancy, his wife, they both hams. You ought to be able to get into the Greenville repeater up on Mount Mitchell, shouldn't you? Because he don't have any trouble.
I haven't tried that repeater yet. All I've got is just a little handheld bowphone, and so I'm also sitting down in a little valley here, so it's hard for me to get out. But I'll have to try that. Yeah, I believe it's on Paris Mountain, and the other one's on Caesar's Head, if I'm correct. And the call sign is KO4BYU.
KYU, K4OIM. Yeah, I'm talking on the repeater up at Mount Mitchell. It's up there at 3,500 feet, and it's got a pretty good footprint. But that bow thing, you could go on Amazon and get one of these 5/8. It's called a Firebird. It's a 5/8 wavelength, 2-meter ground plane. That's what I'm talking on. It's, I don't have it up, but about 22 feet. And it's on the downhill side of the house. I'm up here at Lake Bowen. But I don't have any problem hitting a repeater with it. And I've got a Yaesu. It's an older model Yaesu HT at 5 watts. I can get into repeater with it. And then I just bought a TYT 10 watt handheld. And it don't have any problem getting into the repeater. Yeah, we have a net here every night at 9 o'clock, a different net controller each night. And on Wednesday night, KI4DOS, Gary over in Easley, he has a swap net once everyone checks in. If you got any radio equipment you want to sell or trade or you're looking for something to buy, it's a great place to find you some radio equipment.
Yeah, I was looking at those ground plane antennas on YouTube and pretty interested in that. I'm getting ready to retire here in another 123 days or so, and I've told the wife for my retirement I want the new Yaesu 99-1A. So I'm hoping that that's all going to work out, because I really would like to get a HF and transceiver. Right now, like I said, all I got is this little Bofong, and the antenna I got outside is just a little dipole I made by myself out of some old rabbit ears. But I'm wanting to build a J-pole, and that's my next project. I almost went and bought the hardware today to build it, but different things got going in here, and I just didn't have time to do it.
It's on Amazon. I think it was $32, and I'm sitting 41 miles away from the repeater, and I have no problems at all calling the net on Tuesday night with it. I mean, I ain't promoting nothing, but I'm going to Shelby next Saturday. I'm hunting for I'm gonna go up there and try to find me a 2 meter beam. I've got a 32-foot tower laying out here on the ground, and got a just been rebuilt, never been put back up, CDE rotator to go on it. I've got a set of Mosley A3 tri-banders for 2015 meter beams I've had for over 2 years now, sitting up there beside the house. Want me to get all that up, but I'm almost 74, and I was down here in the shack 3 years ago next Saturday, and my door blew up from the shack, and I got up to go close it, and I had a doggone stroke and fell out and broke my neck. Let me let the repeater drop.
Ouch. That don't sound like a whole lot of fun there. Yeah, I'm hoping I'm going to be able to go up to the Shelby Ham Fest this weekend. I'm going to try and go up on Saturday. We'll see if I can get out of here long enough to go do that. But yeah, I'm just trying to wind some things up here with my workplace while I still got insurance, and supposed to have surgery Monday to put in a stent, but that got canceled, so we'll try and get that done. But yeah, those ground poles look pretty interesting. I'd never really seen one. I was watching a guy down in Florida, he was putting one in down there, and it looked like a pretty interesting antenna. And I'm beginning to wonder, you know, I just got into this ham stuff about a year and a half ago, and I've checked into the network a couple of times up at work, snuck out of the building, and took me 10 or 15 minutes to get out there and check into the net. But unfortunately, I work second shift, so it's kind of hard to do. And then on the weekends, you know, I'm trying to get out of here on that little cheap dipole I got. That ain't working. So, yeah, antenna is probably going to be one of my next projects to get. So, we'll see how that goes.
Hey, that 991A, that's a good radio. I'm talking on a FT 950 now. I bought used off of a net controller for the Ole Miss net. He had more money and he knows what to do with. He can pay $3,500, $4,500 every year for a new radio. And he offered me a doggone good price on this 950, and I took him up on it. But on HF, all I got up right now is a 80-40 meter fan dipole. And I've got that set of beams up there. Then I got a Cushcraft 4-band trap vertical out there in the backyard. I need to put ground radials on. I got a 20-meter double bazooka dipole I need to get up. I got a 6-meter dipole I need to get up. But I'm just now, my health's getting back to where I can get around and do a few things out here. And but you sound like I did when I retired. I was a heavy equipment operator for 53 years, and we was doing the grading on BMW up there in Greer, and on a new edition. And when I turned 61 that morning on the way to work, I said, well, I got 365 days till I retired. And every day on the way to work, we all met in the parking lot and got in what they call a meat wagon that hauled all the operators and all down to the job site. Every day I was counting down the days, and they finally got tired of it and told me if I didn't shut up, I was going to have to walk down.
Yeah, I've got a little application on this smartphone they gave me at work I got to carry, and it's a countdown timer, and I have 124 days, 6 hours, 17 minutes, and 30 seconds to go.
Dave Watson, W4DJW, he is our net manager here. He works with computers, and he works at home. And he's been thinking about retiring and thinking about it, and he finally decided a week or two ago that he's going to go ahead and go for the early retirement. So he's counting down the days till September the 15th, and he's going to hang it up. K4OIM for ID.
KO4BYU here. Yeah, I took my test up there at the Red Cross building with the fellas from the Blue Ridge Net up there, and a nice group of fellas, had a good time jacking with them, and got my first test out of the way, got my technician's license, and so I'm kind of studying up for the next step, and working on some old ham radio, or some old AM radios I got down here. Like I said, the only transmitter I got says Bofong, but I'm going to change that here in 124 days, 6 hours, 15 minutes, and 58 seconds.
You got a lot in common. I'm sitting here right now looking at a old Holocrafter S40B. It was a one owner from the guy I got it from. He bought it new back in the late 40s, early 50s. And then I got a Lafayette HA600 sitting here and a Lafayette HA53. And then a Holocrafter SX, and then I got a Holocrafter SX99 sitting back there. I mean, they all my radios. I love restoring the old tube-type radios.
Well, this has been my first experience with messing with a radio, and I went down to a little junk store here in Gray Court. And the fella had a bunch of old radios, three of them sitting there. And he wanted $25 for it. I asked him, I said, well, does it work? And he said, well, I'm scared to plug it in. I said, well, I ain't going to give you $25 for a radio if I don't know it'll work or not. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you all three of them for $25. So I said, okay. So one of them is a True Tone D2226. And I took the chassis out and was looking at it. And I was looking at the capacitor for tuning. And I seen three screws across the top that was loose, and I said, yeah, the screws are loose, so I tightened them up. That was a mistake. They were the trimming capacitors, so I had a time getting those set back right, but I finally got the AM section working on it, the FM's working on it, I've got the case repaired, and it was pretty busted up, and getting close to getting ready to put it back in its, put the chassis back in the box for it.
All these receivers I got sitting here, they're all the old antique shortwave receivers. And the Lafayette HA600, back when I was a kid, I seen that thing in the Lafayette magazine, and man, I wanted one. And I finally found it and the HA-63 at a solid key estate, way up above Candler, North Carolina, way up in the mountains. And I went all the way up there to get them. And it's getting out where the tubes are hard to find. That's one reason I'm going to Shelby. And every one of them, well, I've got one, two sitting here now that is up and on the air. But the rest of them, I'm waiting on a recap kit from Hayseed. And I usually get them within 10 days from the day I ordered. And now, because of this COVID and everything, they run 2 or 3 months behind on back orders and everything. So I'm just sitting here. I hadn't even took them out of the cabinets yet, because there's no need in taking them out till I get the parts. I just lose screws and all of that. I learned that years ago. Did you have a signal generator to a line that old AM and FM radio?
No, sir, I didn't, and that was an issue for me. What I did was I've got this little thing called an Arduino. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but I programmed it to put out a clock signal at 800 kilohertz, and that got me a good signal that I could tune the capacitors in with, little trimmers. It was quite a work. I've got a fellow at work that helps me out a lot. He's been working with radios for years now, and so I've been bending his ear, asking him questions and learning. The other one, now I'm learning on this old AM/FM radio that ain't worth $20 on eBay, even if it is working. And I'm going to look at this next one's a True Tone D2133 that is shortwave AM. And so I'm looking at it thinking I'm just going to gut it completely and rebuild it from the ground up. So that's going to be an interesting project. KO4 BYU.
KO4 BYU, K4 OIM. I go on the QTH website a lot and on eBay looking for equipment, and usually they're pretty honest. They'll say a tech special. That means it's not working. I'll buy them for $10, $15, or $20, I'll get them in here and go through them, get them working, and when I find hear of a new ham on the air that talking on a handheld, especially a 2-meter station, I'll either get in touch with him, and depending on his financial situation, I'll sell them anyway for what I got in them, or I might just give it to them. And I was looking for a signal generator, and the other week on the swap net on Wednesday night, I put out on there that I was looking to buy a signal generator, and my friend Gary over there in Easley that calls the net, he said, "Well, Walt, today's your lucky day. I've got one." Yeah, I said, "Well, what do you want for it?" He said, "I'm paying it forward." Said I. He even brought it up here to me the other Tuesday. And man, that thing's been helpful.
I bet that was helpful. It's always good to pay forward to help other people out. That's one of the good things about people do stuff like this ham radio, and like I said, I'm new to it. My dad had a ham license, but he never had a radio. He had to get one for his work in the Air Force. He did a lot of work with the radios, but he never brought it home with him. But I couldn't find his old license. When I got mine, I kind of wanted to try and get his old call sign, but I never could find his license. Never could find out any information about what his license was, what his call sign was. But I tell you, I'm going to have to get off here. The wife's going to be home in a few minutes. It's about dinner time. So it was good talking to you. Let me make sure I got that call sign right. K4 Oscar Yankee Mike.
K4 Oscar India Mike.
Copy that as Oscar India Mike. And this is Jim from down in Gray Court, K04 BYU, Bravo Yankee uniform, and I'm going to be signing off. You have a wonderful day, sir, and one more time, what was your first name?
Another guy checking into the net on Tuesday night is K04 BYQ. No, K2 BYQ. His is BYQ, and that just rolls right off the tongue, Jim. So I'll say 73, Jim. K04 BYU. K4 OIM. 73.
73s to you too, sir. Have a wonderful evening. Enjoyed talking with you. Hopefully we'll catch up again one night. Maybe I'll be hanging out on the net. So 73s and have a wonderful evening. KO4 BYU's out.
KO4 BYU. By the way, you can check into the net by the way of Echo Link. Be glad to have you every night, any night, and every night you can. Yeah, I know you're working, so
7-3,
Jim.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm cheating using this Echo Link because it's not really a radio. I'm kind of cheating using the internet to pretend I got a radio. I'm looking forward to getting one day. So, yeah, I've checked in the net a couple of times. I've snuck out of the building and used my handheld. But, yeah, let me go on upstairs. I'm down here in the basement. The wife will be here soon, and we'll need to go get us some dinner. So you have a good evening, sir. KO4 BYU is out.
For DJW Mobile.
JW K4 OIM. I bet you've been flying today, Dave.
Well, while I elected to put it off till later in the day, so I'm on my way out there now. I looked at it, the weather, the temperature's not going to drop off till 7 o'clock, so I figured I might as well go now. I was hoping in the afternoon that it would be a little bit cooler, but who knows, it might be. I'm usually back home by now, so I'm going to test this part of the day today, see what it's like. So just now getting ready to go out there, got an airplane that I've flown before, but not with this radio. A new radio and an old airplane, I'm going to see how it works.
You don't have the wind up there that we got up here on Lake Bowen, and you're not that far away. My flag is standing straight out here right above the lake.
Well, I'm going by Lake Cunningham right now, and I usually look at the water when I go across a bridge. I can see the water as we speak. And it's got a few little curls up on top of the water, but there's no white water. And I'm looking at the treetops as I'm going by the treetops, and they're not moving much at all. So I'm hoping it's pretty smooth sailing here, Walt. But if it's not, then I'll pack it up, go back home, and wait till another day.
18 days left.
And else opens up. I've been doing some interviews, so it could backfire on me. But everybody tells me take at least a month before you go back to work. But if I have the opportunity to do that, I'm going to do that. Take a little bit of a break anyway.
These kids getting out of high school are going to take a year of break before they go back to school and go to college. Man, I'm glad I went ahead and took my early retirement because until I broke my neck, Dave, it was wonderful.
I remember when I graduated high school, I was over at my buddy's house. We both graduated in 76. And his dad asked me, we spent the summer doing whatever we wanted to. And his dad was one of those air traffic controllers that Reagan fired. and he never got to go back. But he asked me, he was working then, and he asked me, he said, well, are you going to work for Michelin for the rest of your life? And then, man, that one question from him just, that hit me hard. It's like, you know, you do have to do that, don't you? That's when the light bulb came on with me, Walt.
I was lucky. I went in the Navy when I was just turned 18, and I went through heavy equipment operator school. And Dave, I loved that job so much, I'd have worked for free. But yet I couldn't wait. We was doing a new addition down there at BMW. And when I turned 60, I was in, they call it the meat wagon. You met up, everybody parked up on the, right off of 101 there in the parking lot. You got this big old flatbed truck and rode down to the job site, and it was my birthday. I just turned 60, and I started 364 more days, and it got to the point where they threatened to throw me off the truck and make me walk down that hill to the job site. They was tired of hearing it, but man, I'm glad I went ahead and took it, Dave.
Count them and let them know it every day. Well, that's good. I hear other people doing that at work where I am now. I've heard them doing that, and they're gone now. They're retired. Haven't heard from them since they left. I hope they're still enjoying what it was they decided to do. But I remember when I first went to work at Michelin, and in the beginning I worked in the lab. I was pulling rubber out of shoot boxes and putting it either in the scrap bin and charging them for it, or putting it over in the recoup box, and they weren't getting charged for it. And I kind of liked that job, but not so much I would have worked it for free. And then I went into the machine shop, and I liked that a whole lot better, burning lamella cabinets and matrices. That was getting close to being able to work for free. But then, after going back to school and learning how to program, they were paying me to write software. Now, I would have done that for free. I enjoyed that much.
From a job for knowing too much.
Or some jobs that I don't get because I'm overqualified.
This company down at Fountain Inn, after I retired, I wanted to go back to work, and I had this ham radio background. I went down there and put in an application, and they sent me out to this company that built circuit boards. And I was building this board, I'd run out of components, and everything they done was government contracts. And I walked back there to the head electronic engineer. I said, listen, I got four more boards to build, and I'm out of this particular resistor. He said, well, substitute it. I said, you can't substitute parts on a circuit board for a laser, a weapons laser guidance system. He said, what? I said, this is a laser guidance system. And they told me just to go back there to this, and they'd bring me another project. Well, that evening, when we got off work, I was on the way home, and I was fired. I wasn't supposed to know what it was we were building. But I knew. I knew what we were building with precision parts. I mean, a laser guidance system, you don't substitute parts. You don't do that in electronic test equipment, Dave.
Peter Principle, right? Everybody, that's the way the United States works. There's a lot of people that are victims of the Peter Principle. They rise to the point of their incompetency, and that's where they stop. Right? You keep getting promoted, and finally one of your promotions is going to be to a level that you're not competent in. And there are so many people that are in that position now, right? They've risen to their level of incompetence that you have situations like that come up. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's just the way our system works. until we come up with a solution for that, which we haven't, it'll always be that way. W4DJW.
JW K4OIM. I was stationed out at the Pacific Missile Range out at Point Magoo, California, and I had to get a secret security clearance, not top secret, just secret. And they, the FBI and all, came out to my parents' house and to my aunt's house and my sister's, and doing a background check on me. And my job was, once every 3 days, I had two Marine guards go into this office building, and I'd pick up this box with a lock on it. I had the key to it, and we'd get on what they call a LARC. It's a landing craft, landing assault craft, and you go driving down the road on the base, you go out to the beach, drive right off into the water, fold the wheels up, they engage the props. We went out 3 miles off the coast of Malibu Beach. They shut the engine down, I opened that box up, and those two Marine guards stood there with guns drawn. I opened that box and dumped a box of ashes into the ocean. Locked the box up and went back to the beach. You're talking about government waste.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. Well, I'm at the airfield, and almost all of the full-scale airplanes are gone. These guys are out flying. The gate was open, so they're out in the sky, so I got to keep an eye out for them. But I'm the only one with an RC plane, so I got the whole field to myself until they come back. Anyway, Walt, I'm going to get out and unload here and test out this airplane. Good talking to you. K4OIM, W4DJW.
JW, K4OIM. All right. Good flying, Dave. 7-3s. Talk to you later.